Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another exciting week with us. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right.
We're going to do it.
We cannot start an episode without paying homage to one of you amazing listeners who use our hashtag on Instagram, hashtag #STRShareSunday. Why? And this is actually a great segue in today's show because anything that you can rent on a short-term basis is an STR. It's a short-term rental. Airbnb is kind of like a brand that you can use, but we're going to be all inclusive here, especially today with today's episode, and we're calling them STR Share Sunday. We'll share you here on the podcast and on our Instagram account on Sundays. Get it? Nettie, who are we sharing today?
Today, we are sharing at Barefoot in Sable. And Sable is spelled S-A-U-B-L-E. And they are located at Sable Beach in Ontario. And want to just go over this today, and Listeners, put this on your to-do list. We've talked about this before, but I want to highlight it again. They have done a fabulous job in their Instagram highlights, it's the top circles there, of putting their rave reviews, and I love that they put rave reviews, and also video tours. These are the two things people want to know what other people have to say about the stay, and if they can, so you want to do that, number one, and secondarily, the video tours to see something live action like that. We all love video. It just helps bring the space to life. So if you don't have reviews or you don't have video tours on your Instagram, we encourage you do one this week and then do one next week. But it is so helpful for your potential guest to see the awesome reviews and actually get really acquainted with the space. So well done, Barefoot and Sable. Go follow them. Give them some likes. Check out how they've done that. And just make sure you use the hashtag so we can highlight you.
Yes. And bring people to your Insta.
Share your space.
Yeah. Okay. So on to today's show. And it's a very fun and exciting. And man, what a creative way to get into the short-term rental space. And I feel like it's such an accessible, fun way to get into the short-term rental space. But today we have Matt Mitchell, who is a digital nomad who turned his passion for camper van travel into a short-term rental business. Through each rental experience, he's able to educate travelers on their investment in adventure, which I love that line, and outdoor recreation. Matt, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited and appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have you on.
And especially, I know listeners, we are so excited to have Matt on because obviously we've, you know, been online watching, you know, all the news articles, everything that's going on. And we've seen that people have been hitting the road more than ever. And people have been hitting the road in RVs and also camper vans. And we have never done an episode on camper vans before. And we are so excited because Matt, you are going to be our expert right now. Do you want to tell our listeners what we love about you is you actually got started in this a while ago and very genuinely pre-COVID. So can you tell our listeners how you kicked off your camper van business, where it all started?
Absolutely. The pressure is on. The hashtag van life community, I'm sure, is listening. The camper van travel and van life in general has definitely been kind of a hot button term, I think, for the last, 12 to 18 months. We got started on our sort of story and our journey in a super organic way. My girlfriend at the time, in 2018, we lived in an apartment in the city in Virginia, in Richmond, and I was working remotely for a tech company. I'd been with them for a few years, and I really just didn't feel like I was taking advantage of truly what it meant to work remote. And of course, fast forward, 5 or 6 years, it's gone above and beyond that. But at the time, I had a home office. We were able to kind of, cut out work early and go to the river if we wanted to, but I really wasn't exploring anything. And so Grace, my girlfriend, actually came to me with the idea of this thing called van life. There's people that are converting cargo vans that look super sketchy when you start, but they're putting windows in them, they're putting nice furnishings inside, and they're traveling across the country and living in them. And the question kind of came up is, could we convert our life into that, minimized, pair off and get all of our things that we need and fit into the van? And then, of course, could we continue working? Could we really test the limits of what working remotely really is? And spoiler alert, it worked. We went on the road for a year. We traveled the entire year of 2019. We went across 22 states, the United States, 2 provinces in Canada, and had the best year of my entire 29-year-old life. So it was amazing. That's kind of the story of how we got into it. When we came back in December of 2019, right before COVID, not knowing it was coming, of course, invested in our first home, not on wheels, and the van sat in the driveway. And it was super sad. We grew to love that van. We loved the experience that van gave us. And that's when we found out what Outdoorsy is. Outdoorsy essentially is the RV marketplace that's just like Airbnb, but for drivable rigs, for towable rigs. So we got on there seemingly just to allow our friends and family, who of course were excited about the trip, followed us on Instagram, followed the story and said, hey, we'd love to rent the van for a weekend or a small trip. And we wanted to be able to provide that to them with insurance and coverage and things that Outdoorsy would offer. Well, we put them on, we listed it, I think, in May, right, as everything was kind of spiking and getting crazy. And before you know it, we were booked out for 3 and 4 months at a time. And none of our friends and none of our family could actually book anything. So that was the only con. We were booked up with strangers. Strangers just, poured into our DMs, poured into our Outdoorsy inbox, and they were renting for weekends. They were renting for 3 weeks. I mean, we had a couple rent for 6 weeks and did a complete cross-country trip and went to Washington State and then back to Virginia. So we've seen everything back and forth, but it's been a pretty crazy story of not ever thinking about actually getting into this marketplace, not ever thinking about getting into short-term rentals, but just sort of by happenstance falling into this community. And it's been pretty awesome.
All right. So as you can tell, Matt's excitable. He's going fast. So we're going to slow him down here because I've got a lot of questions before you even started renting. Now, you said your girlfriend, you and Grace, you both moved into the van, correct? Both of you the whole entire year?
Correct. And our dog, Sawyer.
Oh, and a dog. Okay. Can you let us know, do you mind sharing with our listeners how much you purchased that initial van for, or what was that initial investment?
Sure. I would say it's roughly a $40,000 investment for everything. And I want to put an asterisk beside that because the inflation and the demand of vans right now, I don't want to paint that picture. That's what you're going to get today. We were very lucky on both sides of the ball. We found a very good deal locally in Virginia for a stock camper van. So an empty van that would go to a builder or you could build it yourself. And then on the other side, we found a builder located in Boulder, Colorado, who had just started his building career, had converted from tiny homes to vans. So I think we're his third build. So van was 17,000, build was roughly, a little under 20,000. So 40,000 total was the all-in investment.
Gotcha. And listeners, I will let you know with his asterisk, I have been researching this because I did a pre-call with Matt before the show, and I've been looking at vans and they are all, the ones that I'm looking at, they're like 60 to 80 grand. Not to say that you can't get them cheaper, but that's what I've been seeing out there. All right. When you got back, you said that was the best, the most unreal, wonderful year of your life. Is that correct?
Absolutely. 110%.
But the van was not decked out with amenities, correct?
The van, as it sits today, we still have it in our rental fleet. It's definitely very bare bones. It's minimal. It has the things that you would need, you know, a kitchen, stove, a bed, and things like that. But yes, not glamorous. Absolutely less amenities than our 1,200 square foot apartment had.
Gotcha. And let's tell everybody. So outdoorsy, you had that van because listeners, if you don't know, also we have an episode a while back where Sarah and her husband, they also rent their. What are you, RV?
It's a travel trailer.
I always mess it up. Travel trailer on Outdoorsy also. So if you want to listen to another episode about Outdoorsy, we have one. And Outdoorsy is very similar to Airbnb. Does everything on Outdoorsy have to have wheels or could it be a tent?
That's a great question. I think the only tent, I've seen tents on there, typically they are rooftop tents. So they're on a car that does have wheels that drives away, or they're on, you know, a towable trailer with a tent. So I'm not sure if Outdoorsy is really pinpointed the market of just rentable gear. I think it all is attached to some sort of mobile.
Here's
that makes
what
sense.
I think is really cool because obviously Nettie and I are in the house short-term rental situation, the apartment short-term rental situation, and we're actually shopping right now for these. And we have to do our numbers and run the return on our investment. And while a van is much more expensive these days, on average, Matt, what is a nightly rate? I mean, I know it depends weekend, weekdays, time of the year, but like, is there like an average for peak and off peak seasons for the van?
Absolutely. We started and are still sort of ever, learning what that sweet spot is. And it has a lot of variables, as you mentioned. We now have two separate sizes of vans with two different types of amenities. And, you'll have your weekender trips, you'll have your longer trips. And at the end of the day, like most things with short-term rentals, there's a little bit of customization that comes mm-hmm. in. If someone's coming in for a much longer trip with a lot more miles and different adventures, you're going to work with that person to sort of, ease things a little bit more than someone that's coming in for standard weekend rental where you don't have to change many things because it's appropriate for them. But for us, when we started with our first van, I believe the first nightly rate that we did was $150 a night. And even at that time, I thought that was crazy. I mean, I love the van, we lived in it for paid for it. So we obviously paid more than the nightly rate, but at that time, I thought there's no way someone's going to rent this. Or if they will, we're going to have a steep conversation when they get here and take the tour and say, I'm not paying for that.
But they do, and they're happy to,
but
right?
They absolutely do. We have the larger wheelbase van, which can accommodate more people, and it's a little more comfier, rents for $225 per night. And the smaller short wheelbase van that's more of kind of a weekender or a weekly travel is $200 a night.
Wait, so what'd you just say about can you go over those two again? Because you said, I didn't even catch those. You have two separate ones.
We have two separate vans that are kind of in the fleet right now. The big difference that you'll see with any sort of camper van layout comes mm-hmm. down to wheelbase. And all wheelbase means is how long the van is. So it's square footage for van people. And essentially, you're looking at a Sprinter van, which is probably the most popular. There's the Transit van. There's a couple other different models that are out there. But most of them have a long wheelbase van. So the longest one that they offer is right around 25 feet, bumper to bumper, which is the size of kind of a small RV. So just keep that in mind. It's a It's a big van. We have one of those. And then the short wheelbase van is probably the length of a full-size truck. That's probably the best way to put it. So when you go inside those two vans, a lot of things change. You know, do you have a queen bed or do you have a full bed? Mm. Do you have a bed that's vertical, bumper to bumper, so it's nice to stretch out? Or is your bed sequestered to horizontal, you know, window to window, and it's a little bit tighter for taller people? So those are the two offerings that we have right now that both can fit two people. Both are, you know, totally fine for couples plus pets. Not appropriate for families, not appropriate for someone, another child or you know, a group of people coming, because it's just probably a little bit too small, a little bit too close quarters. We've done that before, but with friends, not with strangers.
Gotcha. It's just, I'm just thinking about how awesome a return on investment it is. Like, even if you, I don't even care if you pay 60 to 80K for this van. And what's your occupancy rate on average, Matt? Like, are you guys pretty much booked both? I mean, doesn't matter. I guess season might not even matter because people travel with it. You know, they can go through seasons. They go north or south or east or west.
Yeah, there's a whole host of add-ons and options that you can, if you're really being sharp, which in the beginning, we built this first van for us, right? We built this van for a couple and a dog to adventure across America and Canada. And there was a lot of things that we learned both during the trip that we built into the van that we didn't need. And there was a little shorter of a list of things that, of course, we wish we would have added on. One of the things that we added on while we were on the road, to your point, to extend our trip, is that we got caught in, I think it was either Colorado or New Mexico in October, and it was like getting cold. You know, it was starting to snow and we didn't want to come home yet. So we went to an RV company in northern New Mexico and got a diesel heater put in. And it's the same type of heater, interestingly enough, that comes pretty much on standard on all semi-trucks. You know, if you're someone who drives a semi-truck, you're going to go to sleep at night, you're going to have a heater, and that heater is connected to your diesel tank since it's a diesel van. So it's pretty cool. It runs off the same tank that when you go fill up your gas tank, you just switch a little thermostat on and boom, you have heat in your van. So yeah, we have one van right now that's totally four season. You can take it, and we've taken it places, you know, pretty much close to below freezing or in the teens, snow on the ground, 2 feet of snow on the ground. And we've got 70, 72 degrees inside. We're making hot chocolate and yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So good.
That's something I wouldn't, as a guest, I wouldn't even have thought about making sure there was extra heat.
Well, and I
wouldn't have thought of that at all.
You know, your intro mentioned your passion for educating your guests on their investment in adventure. So I'm assuming that, you know, for hosts, like, you know, we host in Columbus, Ohio. So we will share with them where to restaurants to go to, what coffee shops to go to, you know, remind them to lock their car doors. Cause who knows, you know, it's a great neighborhood, right? Basics. But you, I mean, I'm sure you can give them tips they didn't even think to ask about, like, well beyond, you know, like, where do I go to the bath? Like, are there any, like, tips and tricks on where to go to the bathroom? Can I park? Can I park in a parking lot overnight? Which ones? Is there a community? Like, if I'm going for a couple of months, like, can I reach out to you and can you tell, you know what I mean? Like, and do you help them, like, with, like, stops
curate
along
the trip,
way? Yeah. You curate. How much hosting do you do for these people?
That's a really great question. As you can probably tell from the intro and how much I put into whatever that 30-second pitch was, I try to trim that up as much as possible. I always find myself with more information than what I think customers probably want. And so I try to trim things down as much as possible. But yeah, there's a lot of what I think is kind of education in the short term rental space, specifically for camper vans, because for a lot of people, it's so new. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of difference between that and normal camping. And of course, there's a lot of difference between camper van travel and staying at an Airbnb. So whether we're talking about camping tips and tricks, we're talking about leave no trace. I mean, we're so lucky to take our van. Historically, us, you know, Grace and I both living and being raised and growing up on the East Coast predominantly, our trip across the country, for me, was the first time I've ever been across the country. Now, since we've owned vans, I've probably driven across the country 8 or 10 times. But at that point, that was my first big road trip across the country. And when we got into, you know, the Midwest and the Southwest and got into, you know, the Bureau of Land Management, the public lands, I mean, I was blown away to pull up on a forest road in a, you know, super dense forest, or near Joshua Tree or right outside these national parks where there's these huge open vast lands. And going there and having an experience there is really amazing. And, you know, you get great photography and obviously you have great memories to share with people, but there's a lot of responsibility that comes with keeping those things good for others and maintaining them for the adventure community or outdoor recreation community as a whole. Mm. And that part's really important to us. I mean, I can go down the list and teach you all the things about specifics about this van versus that van. And we have tons of renters that love those questions. A lot of our renters, you know, the top question from our renters when they come back, aside from when can I rent again or can I rent the other van, is what's the process of getting one of these? I've got to have one. Hmm. I mean, this was amazing. I tested the waters with this. It was great to spend 2 weeks here, but I've got to know how I get my hands on one. And so that's really, it's a dual focus of adventure and education for your trip and post-trip. How can you keep this going? Whether that's going to be for rentals, whether that's going to be for a personal investment for you to live in. We've heard stories from everybody. And it's really just about connecting the dots. It's finding partners across the country that we've met on our trip, if they're going to be in that area, to connect them with them. We try to, you know, kind of give as many local things in the van specific to Virginia for people that are obviously leaving from here. You know, we've worked in the past with some craft breweries to have some nice, you know, wines and beers in the fridge when they leave, so they kind of remember a little bit about Virginia. So there is a whole host and a whole market that we haven't really even dove into yet that could bring our hosting score, you know, way up for sure.
So one of the questions that comes to my mind is, are both of these vans housed on your property? And like for us, remote access is huge. It's so nice because we don't know when our guests are going to check in and, you know, they can do that at any time.
They love flexibility.
My first off the cuff is thinking you have to meet every single guest to transfer the keys and also do a tour of the van. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. And this is, we're diving into a subject which I am very, very interested in. I've balled up many pieces of paper with ideas and models of how to remove myself, how to remove the physical aspect of meeting with someone. And I haven't, that's a market. Listeners, that's a market. I have not figured out how to get there where there's an automated piece that covers all of the necessary things that comes from the physical touch. At the end of the day, it's a huge responsibility to just hand the keys off to a stranger, even one that you've vetted, you've talked to, and you've worked through on, you know, pre-renting requirements and things like that, but you still want to be able to walk them through and answer questions. I mean, keep in mind, they're just like an Airbnb. It's the same risk as an Airbnb. They're driving a car. So imagine smashing the Airbnb conversation in with a Hertz rental car conversation and then removing the person from that. And it makes me lay in bed at night because it's just, I want that to happen, right? I want to have a single sign on with an iPad or something that's, you know, sitting on the dash or something like that, where they can kind of come in with an intro video and all the different questions and tutorials. But I haven't been able to release the control or the reins of sitting with that person, even if it's for 30 minutes, you know, even if it's for a quick load your bags in the van and let's take a tour. I haven't been able to remove myself from that yet. So yes, there's a physical aspect that's still at play.
Okay. Do you still work full-time, Matt, with the tech company?
I do, yes. So that's the other piece, is that I've got a full-time job that is very, you know, flexible in nature due to the fact that it's remote, and I've been doing it for a while, so I've kind of owned my schedule. But that's another piece. I want to be as available to renters as possible. But at the end of the day, I do make it well known to renters, and that's kind of part of our story, is that this isn't a full-time venture for us. You know, it never has really. We never really had the idea of doing that, which I think is attractive for a lot of people that want to kind of get into this in more of a passive structure, because the amount of time it takes on a weekly basis is really very, very minute. You know, I'm talking, you know, if you're renting even two vans on a weekly or biweekly level, you're still way below the part-time threshold as far as the hours it takes to keep this going.
Mm-hmm, sure. I have questions around turnover. It's obviously with Airbnbs, there's a cleaning fee. Is there a cleaning fee in Outdoorsy? Is that customary? And then are you and Grace the one cleaning the van after, or do you hire that out? Like, does it take hours upon hours to clean a van after a guest brings it back? What does that look like for you?
a cleaning fee for both vans, and Outdoorsy has a whole host of different sort of add-ons and different, you know, added fees or things that you can make custom in there. Our cleaning fee, I think it's $25 per van, so it's pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. The training, and I guess the, you know, one piece of the physical aspect is that we kind of talk to people and say, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the cleaner you leave it, obviously there's no fee for you, and it makes, obviously reduces the amount of time for us to clean as well. Now, the vans being such a small space, I'm sure there's Airbnbs out there, little apartments and dwellings that are probably in the similar square footage area. But for the most part, it doesn't take many, you know, it doesn't take an hour to clean. You take the, you know, you strip the bed and obviously do a load of laundry, and then you're wiping down services, you know, cleaning out the fridge, maybe running a vacuum for, I don't know, 30 seconds because it's about four swipes, and then you're done. So,
okay.
I don't want to turn people off to say that you don't have to do any cleaning. The cleaning that you're doing is probably 10% of what you would be used to, you know, with a physical space, with a, you know, traditional real estate.
Because you don't provide probably like bath towels or hand towels or anything like that. Or do you, if they're going to be like using public, like they have to use public restrooms, right? Like at campsites?
Yeah, absolutely. And we provide pretty much everything. You'll see a lot of different, you know, you'll see really strict, and I don't mean to use strict in a negative way, but you'll see some more stricter offerings on Outdoorsy of people that rent the van, and the van is really it. And then mm-hmm. you'll see add-ons, and add-ons could be for anything. I mean, it could be for camp mugs, it could be for chairs, it could be for towels. And that's certainly an area that we could probably increase revenue for sure from an investment standpoint. But for us, we're still predominantly experience-driven entrepreneurs, if you want to call us that. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to our van rental, we want people, because we fell in love with the van the way that we experienced it, we want to give as close to that experience as possible, even if someone's taking it for two nights, even if someone's going for, you know, not nearly a distance or a length amount of time that they're really going to soak it up as much as we did. They get camp chairs, they get a table, they get a fire pit, they get all the towels, all the linens, coffee, rice, you know, olive oil, cast iron pans. I mean, literally, they should have to go to the grocery store. They have fresh water. They have, you know, toiletries. They have everything. They should be able to go to the grocery store and stock up. And then they shouldn't. I mean, the whole point is to be as off grid and, you know, alone if you want to as possible. So there's no need to go to a city to plug in to get water. You know, depending on obviously duration of the trip, but we try to add as much in as possible and just float that under the nightly rate versus having all these different add-ons and making it a little bit more of a complex process for renters.
Do you offer your hotspot? A hotspot?
I haven't yet. It's not off the table. It's not listed as a normal amenity because we haven't, and that's a great, we don't have to have it as a segue, but I'm very obviously committed and interested in expanding the remote workforce. And that's a piece of remote, of van travel. You know, we've had a number of guests that have brought laptops with them and maybe worked for a couple of days, but we actually haven't had anyone yet rent the van for predominantly living and working from the van. I mean, that would typically be a lot longer of a trip because they can kind of go for as long as they want to. And we work at a custom rate. But I haven't had to offer or been asked to offer a hotspot yet. And we do also have a signal booster. So WeBoost is probably one of the largest names of people that offer signal boosters for homes and RVs and vans. And the larger van is equipped for one because that is, quite frankly, how I stayed employed for a year, is that we would go in these really remote areas, which were awesome to camp in. And I'd get there and I'd have no service, or I'd have 1X or 3G. You'd flip a switch, this antenna pulls signal from the nearest cell tower, which could be many, many miles away, and it turns your no service into 2 bars LTE, 3 bars LTE, and I was able to connect and get on Zoom and make it by. So absolutely an aspect of the van that has, again, hasn't really even been scratched the surface as far as, hey, I'm a remote worker in whatever industry I'm in today because we're all working remotely. What are your rates for a working travel? What are your rates for me going away for 2 months and just living in a van for the summer and still working? So yeah, total opportunity there.
Okay. And switching gears a little bit, let's talk about the question that every new host has, whether you're hosting a home or a van, which is, not so great guests. Do you have them often? Are you terrified that they're going to like get a big old scratch in your van? How great is Outdoorsy customer service? Go.
This is a topic that I, like most people, when it comes to insurance in any fashion, you pay for it and you're wondering, I don't know why I pay for this. I really hope I never have to use it.
Right.
We've used it. So we've fortunately and unfortunately have tested out outdoorsy customer service, not only with, you know, small bug issues on the app or things like that or check-ins, but we've actually had a full-on claim. It wasn't any damage to the van that was stopping it from being rented. It was superficial, but it was enough to the point where we did submit a claim. We did go through the, you know, collision specialist. Outdoorsy was great. The timing for it, I would say, from start to finish was about a month, which that was in the peak. That was, I believe, in August or September of 2020. So, I mean, everyone and their significant family member was renting vans or trying to rent something with wheels. So the fact that we got turned around that quickly, I was actually pretty happy. Outdoorsy will actually connect you with they have a list of vendors for auto body specialists, and even their claims underwriter that they pair you with is typically in your local geographic area. So we actually got paired with a claims person that was an hour away from where we were. So if there ever was a need to actually physically see that person, luckily there wasn't, it's not this far off land person where you never know who they are, where they're from, and how to get in touch with them. So I thought they were very transparent. The deductible worked out where we actually didn't need to use Outdoorsy as insurance. It was paid directly from the renter, and they were satisfied and we were satisfied, and it was quite timely. So that process wasn't too bad. Knock on wood, we don't want to do it again.
Yeah. Right. Did you lose, so obviously there was some sort of fender bender while it was getting fixed. Did you have guests that you had to say, sorry, no van for you? that sounds terrible. What did that happen, or did you bypass that?
That's a great question. So we actually had that happen to one rental. We were able to reschedule it though. So we actually got really lucky in the sense that it was a short weekend rental, and we were able to reschedule it. The damage that happened to our van at that point was actually mostly there's a side ladder that's attached to the van that allows you to get onto the roof of the van, which is not used by anyone on Outdoorsy. It was primarily for us because the solar panels are up there and they're time after time, it needs to be cleaned. So what happened was that ladder had to be replaced. So at the end of the day, we just removed the ladder. The van was fine. We scheduled it. I installed the ladder when it came back. We, skipped, a little bit of a bill on the actual, going into an auto body shop. We had to get some work done, but I was able to do most of it. And then we just proceeded like it never happened.
Cool.
So luckily, it was not too bad.
Awesome. Well, I know our listeners, because Sarah and I are dying to know. You had one. Sounds like you're crushing it. Why number two? Was it like you're running the math and you're like, what are we doing? Like, we've got to get the second one. What was the tipping point of, starting your fleet? Because that's, it sounds like a normal Airbnb host, they get one, they want another one. But what was it? Was it the cash? Was it the, connecting with other people? Tell us, just starting, but then growing the business.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I guess we'll start with saying that instead of waiting, I would say conservatively for, 12 months of runway or 18 months of runway to really perfect a model and understand trends and is it COVID, is it not COVID? We absolutely didn't do that. We did our full-time van rental for the first van for 6 months. We rented like crazy in those 6 months. We certainly saw a little bit of drop off towards Thanksgiving, Christmas. There are people that want to rent vans for Christmas and New Year's. That's happened. But week over week rentals after, what's typically the RV rental season, which is, you can ask anyone different options, but typically somewhere between March and April and October, November is kind of when things kind of cut off. So we had a really good, almost a full season. We got started in May, June. So we had, three quarters of a full van season. I got to see what's to be expected, but also maybe reduce that a little bit just to kind of get a conservative look at it. And a lot of the experiences went to it as well. Certainly, we were happy with the cash. We were very, very happy with completely supplemental income on almost a passive structure. Do you have to go to the to the mechanic every now and then, get oil changes, get one-off maintenance. Do you have a bad, a renter that has a bad experience every now and then? Luckily, it's been super rare for us. But all of those things, of course, take time. But it was kind of a pinnacle of, could we do this times two? The revenue times two looks great. what about the expenses? What about the time needed? And it really just came down to me and my Excel spreadsheets for about a week. And I just sort of locked myself in a room and looked at them all and went crazy and decided, if I could find a deal, which I'm always looking for a deal, if I could find a deal and I could make a connection, we were in the market for a new builder. So everything was kind of brand new. I was designing the van again. It felt like 2018. It felt like that same energy from these experiences. These renters gave us the energy to be like, let's do this again. Even if it's a flop, even if we buy it and we sell it, we didn't know at the time that the market was going to go crazy. So any of the vans that we have right now, if we wanted to sell them tomorrow, I mean, the profit that we would get would be insane. So we just felt now is the time, even if it's a huge mistake, let's do it, both on the revenue side and the experience side. And so the timing was perfect. We got a great deal on a great van. We got a new partner to build the van, and we got it built during the off season. So it was ready, I think in the middle of February is when I went out to Arizona and picked it up. And so it was just a perfect swing, and it was kind of a foreshadowing event of, this is kind of what it looks like to be scalable in this short-term rental space, because you do have somewhat of seasonality. If you have vans with heaters, vans with AC, vans at different locations, it's a different story. But for us, it is somewhat of a seasonal path. So how do you maximize your off-season? Are you doing upgrades to your current vans? Are you splurging on a new one? Are you in different partner connections to get ready for the next season? And it just felt like a gradual step for us at that time.
And would you do it all over again for van number two?
Absolutely. I would probably just get like three or four more.
Okay. So that's the question.
I'm sure our
listeners want to know, if you had that cash, and maybe you do, I'm just saying that, would you, is this something that you would continue to grow your fleet?
Absolutely. The only hesitation with growing a fleet comes the pinnacle point. I've heard people hit that point at 5 vans, people hit that at 10 vans, where it begs the question, and I'm sure listeners with Airbnbs or with mobile real estate investments, they get to that point as well, where when does this go from a side hustle into something part-time or even full-time, where you require full-time responsibility from others, meaning I need a full-time mechanic, I need a full-time cleaner, I need an accountant or bookkeeper. Those things are really not... they're not separated from van life. It may seem from Instagram, it's all free and easy. Even having a couple of vans in a fleet is really fun, and you're at the beach with your laptop. But at the end of the day, we've already run into a couple of scenarios where having a relationship with a full-time person for, you know, whatever responsibility I needed would have absolutely given time and money back to us. So I guess the answer is absolutely. I want to run this and scale it as responsibly as we can. But I'm also aware that I'm only one person, Grace is only one person, and we have limits, both professionally and personally, that we want to invest in this. So there's a lot of options out there. You know, there's definitely the option that's top of my mind is obviously getting into, you know, a group, turning this into, instead of a single entity or you know, a dual partnership between Grace and I, opening the doors to other people that are like-minded, that have the same passion for it, that can lend their experience and even obviously, you know, invest with us.
Yeah. And we just a few weeks ago had a episode with TribeVest, and that's exactly what that would be. Let's talk about really quickly too. The one thing that we teach a lot in is like, okay, I know you're really excited. I get it. You want to do the cleaning, you want to do the guests, you want to do it all. Totally get it. There's this thing called hosting burnout, and it is so real. It's so real. So talk to us about that customer, that guest interaction while they're traveling. I know with one and two, it may not feel like a lot, but could you see that multiplying and being also, do people reach out to you on their trips with trip questions, with functionality questions of the van?
Right.
I know it's not a home, but it's still something on wheels that people can, you know, I don't know. It still baffles me, the questions that we get today with hosting traditional short-term rentals. So talk to us about that. Like when they get on their trip, are they still reaching out to you?
That's a really great question and near and dear to our heart, because we hit that. I didn't know what it was called at the time, but it's great that it has a term. I've learned that for sure from you guys. And I'm sure the SDR community knows it very well. We hit that probably after our third or fourth rental, because things were starting to get really picked up. You know, we were really, and that was just with one van. So, and I'll kind of explain a little bit how we do things differently now. But at the time, we were owning everything, and we really weren't organized or really defined in preparation. You know, we didn't have a standard set of questions that we're asking renters, which we do now, you know, a questionnaire. We didn't have tutorials that we were sending them on the road with, you know, different videos and things like that of the things that we think people would ask questions about, so that when they're on the road, they can go to that resource first. And if they have questions after that, then they give you a call. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those things were not in place in the first few rentals. And one of our first few rentals was the only rental that actually has been negative for us. So having those things back to back, Grace and I sat in our cabin at the time and looked at each other and I said, I think we're done. You know, I think we've done, you know, three or four and it's been interesting. Let's take it off Outdoorsy and let's just let our friends do it, you know, however we need to. But we were too emotionally invested. And I'm sure there's listeners that have turned their primary occupants into a rental, you know, investment and moved on or whatever the case is, or have some sort of a connection to it. So there was we needed that negative rental experience to allow us to build up a little bit of armor against people in the future. And that armor turned into self-education for us and figuring out, let's think like renters. We've been doing this whole thing as van lifers, as people that know the ins and outs, that learned everything from the road from being on it for a year. But that's not fair to expect that from someone who's just jumping in for the first time, who Googled van life and somehow found us on Outdoorsy. We have to think like those people. And so once we got into that situation and we started building tools and building things that allowed people to be as educated as possible before they left, I wish we could bring the guest on that just returned the van yesterday. Shout out to them. They were amazing renters. They took a 10-day trip to Kentucky and Tennessee through the Great Smoky Mountains. They had an awesome adventure. Didn't reach out to us one time. If anybody reaches out to us while they're on the road, 9 times out of 10, they are sending us photos of the van, of their dog in the van, of the landscape of a sunset. I don't know if it's what we're doing in the beginning or our vans are so minimal that they don't have a lot of issues. They don't have a lot of questions about things because they're pretty straightforward. But it goes back to all the information that we give them, which could be lengthy, you know, when people meet us and get in the van. But 9 times out of 10, we don't hear from our renters whatsoever while they're renting at all.
Great.
Yeah, that's what I was like, is everybody at, where's this? Where's that? Like, ask. I would be more of like, you're my personal ways.
Yeah, you're my personal concierge, no? Like,
I know, Matt, because we've talked about it. I know that you have had some like life-changing guests. How many guests do you think that you've hosted that have left and are like, you know what, I'm doing this. Your van and you being able to supply that experience is helping them shift their entire lives. Like, how much do you see? Have you found that happening with your guests?
I would say it's not quite 50-50, but it's pretty close. I mean, there's certainly people. Even people that you know rent the van and have a wonderful experience, but they know that the experience was what they got. You know, at the end of the day, they'd come back and rent again. Maybe they're going to go do more car camping now that they know, you know, some spots to go to, or they're just interested in following sort of the van life journey. But I would say every bit of 30 to 40% of our renters have really not just asked that question, but have gone down the path of buying their own van, of working with some of our partners that built our vans to build their own. And it's just, yeah, you bring up kind of life-changing experiences because they're life-changing for the renter because they're kind of diving into this new space for the first time and they're finding out what's possible. And that goes back to the core of why we did it in the first place. It was just an experiment really to figure out, could we live a different life? You know, do we have to be physically located to an address or could we be, you know, anonymous throughout the states? And that's an intense way of looking at it. But these renters are kind of doing that in their own experiment. And we've had really life-changing events for us too, because we get to learn so much about what they're doing. And for us, it's super selfish because we've kind of come back into more of a, not locked in, but, you know, due to COVID, due to the pandemic, obviously we've been more, you know, location, I guess, connected to in Virginia than we ever had been before. So it really is a vicariously living through situation for a lot of these renters, because there's a lot of these trips that, you know, I'm following on Instagram and being like, wow, this is cool. I wish I was there. You know, like renters going to, you know, Denver and Boulder, Colorado, and just going to hike in the mountains and going on these really cool off-beaten paths. Some of the places that we've gone to, and we certainly share, you know, locations with some people. And yeah, so it's life-changing for them, but it's, yeah, we feel like we're a little bit still on the road with them, which is really cool.
What's the one tip for our listeners out there if they want to build a van? What is like the one thing you're like, dang, I wish I freaking knew that the first time around?
Oh, that's a really good question.
And maybe it's
two
things.
There are so many things.
Oh, rattle some off then. Help us out. Help our listeners out. Just a few.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, for living, which is what we did it for when we first bought our first van, but also for renting, as I mentioned about the heater in the van, I think those types of things are really good to make your van and make your space as four seasons as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's definitely vans out there that are catered more towards summer climates, but as soon as the winter comes, even if it's not seasonal, they can't rent it anymore because it's just too cold. You know, mm-hmm. No one's going to rent a van and pay $250 a night and then sleep in a sleeping bag. Some people will, but most people won't. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big thing is to getting into that van. Don't be afraid to think about past where you're currently about to use it. If you know you're going to get into it for rentals, you know you're going to get into some sort of a passive income, then obviously you're going to be thinking with a different brain than living in it. But that's something I wish that we would have done in the beginning, is just always knowing what the opportunity could be down the road. Mm-hmm. So that's one big one. I think size wise, I think that it would really behoove you, and this is not a plug for us to kind of rent through us. You obviously can, but I think that anyone who's looking into even investing in camper vans for themselves, for passive income, for whatever the case is, it's always good to go out and actually rent one.
Yeah.
For the easiest thing is just to see what size you need to fit into. I mean, there's so many different layouts, so many different sizes. If there's one thing I could change before we built our van and got onto this journey, I love the journey that we're on and I wouldn't necessarily change it, but I think it would have been really cool. And I'm very curious what the outcome would be if we used Outdoorsy to rent a camper van before we bought our first one.
Yeah.
I thought about that a lot. It's just how would our story differ? Would we be better? Would we have done this faster if we had used the tools that we had available? Not that we knew about them at the time, but use those tools to essentially follow the journey that our renters are following now.
Yep. Great. That's a great
suggestion. You're
putting
yourself, into the, like, it's almost this, it goes back to your first comment, which is just thinking, future thinking. Like, okay, I want to be here in the future. Who's already doing it now? And can I just rent from them to figure out, you know, what I love, don't love, change, not change, from someone already doing it.
And get to spend the night, actually experience it. Yeah. I've always wondered why when you buy a house, I can't believe they don't let you test it for a night. It's your biggest purchase and you don't even get to like spend the night. Isn't it wild? Like think about that. Seriously, it's weird.
Yeah.
You can test drive a car.
Yeah, but you can't go on a trip with the car. Like you could get the car you'd like on like from...
I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. Maybe if anybody's listening that has anything big, you know, they're a big deal in real estate, I think there should be a try it one night stay. It works though. You don't have to. Matt, listeners, if you are not inspired by Matt's story,
yeah,
Sarah's over here, you know, she wants to start looking at the van life hashtag. Is that the hashtag that if people just want to, what's the best hashtag for them to search on Instagram if they just want to start looking at van? Is it hashtag van life?
Yeah, if you put hashtag van life, good Lord, what you're going to find.
Okay.
You should probably put in some PTO for a couple of days and just get ready to sit back and go through. YouTube was super helpful for us. That's probably one of the only tools that we used when we were first starting out. There's so many solo travelers and couples and even families that have, you know, multiple kids that are out there living full time in vans, and they go through typically the beginning of their story is, you know, before the build, how they built differently, where they've traveled, what's safe, what's not safe. But I would say YouTube and Instagram, hashtag van life, or you know, any sort of camper van travel, you're going to be blown away. Enjoy.
Well, and I'm sure they're all great resources. But how do people reach out to you, Matt? And are you open to people asking you a couple questions and maybe trying out van life with you before they do it for themselves?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're here for. They can contact us at WeVanWild. That's WeVanWild, all one word. WeBandWild.com is active as well, but I would say to get in touch with us directly at WeBandWild on Instagram. That's where most of our live DM discussions go down. You can ask us questions about the rentals, about van life, about our story, about anything. And then from there on our Instagram account in the bio, you can see our two listings as well. So the outdoorsy links are there, and everything is kind of redirected through that hub. So you can contact us anytime.
And we'll make sure to link both of Matt's listings and his Instagram in our show notes. Matt, this is, you have inspired, I know, Sarah and I, and I hope so many of our listeners, that there is just so many ways to get into the sharing economy, especially short-term rentals. And we are just super thankful for your time.
Yes. Thank you so much, Matt.
Yeah. Thank you guys as well. Let's keep the wheels rolling.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
We want to... get this fleet growing for you. So let's make it happen for sure. So.
All right, listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.